This is the third in our series of three on the question of where Shemitah applies within Eretz Yisrael. What exactly is Eretz Yisrael? The first part we talked about lands conquered by Olei Bavel, lands conquered by the Jews coming out of Egypt, lands that the Olei Bavel deliberately left behind, which we finished up last time. Then we had the very confusing issue of Eber HaYarden. I think I need better clarity on that in my own head in terms of some of the issues that we dealt with. But that brings us to the home stretch. And what I want to do today is briefly just mention Egypt, then Syria for a little bit longer, and then focus on the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. What we will not get to is the northern border of Eretz Yisrael, which is a whole discussion about a Ritzua Nafka, a strip of land that extends north from the border, and where is Kiziv, and where is Amna, and Horahar, and so on. And it's really its own hour-long shir in its own right. And we're out of time for Elozman, and there's so much more to see. I'm hoping for the newsman to start out with the key question of the status of Shemitah in lands owned by non-Jews, which is part of the Heter Mechira discussion, but not the entire discussion, but it's certainly a key element of that. So, we begin just by mentioning Mitzrayim, and if you take a look on your sheets, we're talking about Source Lamed Hey, where I brought you from the beginning of Rambam's Hilchos Trumos, where the Rambam says something that we saw briefly yesterday. HaTrumos v'maisos eno nogos min haTorah ela be'eretz Yisrael. He says, Truma and Meiser biblically apply only in the land of Israel, b'fnei abayis, shlo b'fnei abayis, whether there's a Beis HaMikdash or not. Unuvim eskinu, shu nogos afilu be'eretz Shinar. The Nevi'im enacted them in the land of Shinar. Again, we are assuming Shinar equals Bavel, even though it doesn't. Because, after all, Bavel is so close to Israel, and Jews go back and forth, so therefore they said, Midrabanan, it should apply, but the Nevi'im were the ones who said this, so Mid Nevi'im, it should apply in Bavel. The Chachamim HaRishonim said also in Egypt as well as Amun Umoab, and this is what we saw yesterday when we saw the Mishnah in Yadayim that said one was Nevi'im and one was by Zikanim and one was older and one was more recent. That's the Rambam is channeling that Mishnah in Yadayim. So he tells us that there actually is an idea of Truma and Meiser being extended to Egypt Midirabanan. However, when it comes to Shemitah, the Rambam says no, and this we already saw previously. It was in Hecha Shemitah B'Yovel Dalet Chav Zayin. He says Shemitah is not so. And the Mishnah LeMelech assumes that, in general, Mitzrayim is not considered land conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, and it's also not considered land conquered by Olei Bavel. So that's why he's out. Okay, that's my one-minute mention of Egypt. Syria is a lot more entertaining. So when you're talking about Syria, and obviously the Syria, you know, name similarity is jumps out at you, and we are talking about land to the north slash east. I gave you a reference in Lamed Vav to Shmuel Beis Perek Yud. That's where the story takes place. And in brief, there's an overture of friendliness made by David. It is responded to harshly. The emissaries of David who have gone to console someone who is grieving. Are humiliated, they come back, and the Jews go to war with them after their hostilities with Ammon. Aram comes to help. It's really Ammon that's the enemy there. Aram comes to help Ammon against David HaMelech, and so Aram gets crushed. And when we say Aram, we mean Aram Tzova. Aram Tzova, and let's say Aram Tzova for now. So that gets conquered by David. So the Sifri, which I brought you in Source Lamed Zayin, asks, why doesn't that land that David conquers become part of Eretz Yisrael proper? Why do we insist on identifying it as a separate entity called Syria? So this is what we see in Source Lamed Zayin. We're going to walk through this Sifri. It's Nun Aleph in the edition on the Bar Ilan. If you're using Sifri with Emek HaNetziv, it's actually Tesvav. But Kol HaMakom Asher Tidroch Kaf Raglechem Bo Lachem Yehiyah, the pasuk says, everywhere your feet walk will be yours. So in the Lamed al Tchumei Eretz Yisrael, if that was talking about the boundaries of Israel and it's saying that's going to be yours, right, for an Amar, Menhamid Bar Bahalavanam, we already said that. We said, from the Midbar, etc. Matam alomar kol makom asher tidroch, what are you adding by saying, wherever your feet walk will be yours? Amar lahem kol makom shetich b'shuchutz mimakom asa'elu harei yushalochem. It's saying that anywhere that you conquer beyond the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael will also be yours. Or maybe not. Maybe what it's saying is even stronger than that, that you could actually go conquer lands outside of Eretz Yisrael before you've even conquered Eretz Yisrael. No, because the pasuk continues. First it says, you will conquer, you will take the land of these greater and mightier nations, which we assume are the ones in Eretz Yisrael. And only afterwards does it say, wherever you go will be yours. Shalom. And so therefore we understand that you're not allowed to go conquering outside before you conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the reason for this is brought in the Sifri. Shalotei Eretz Yisrael mitama begilulim ve'atem chozim mechav shem chutz la'aretz. You're going to leave idols in your land, and there's tumas avodah zarah there. The tumas avodah zarah is a derabbanan. But the point is, you have avodah zarah in your land, and you're going to go conquer land from elsewhere. Elam mishitich b'shu Eretz Yisrael to rasham lechavei chutz la'aretz. Once you conquer Israel, then you can go elsewhere. That's the idea here. I keep using the word conquer, which is such a cold word, but aside from that, Olei Bavel don't actually conquer things. They settle, with the permission of the Persians. Nonetheless, you settle in Eretz Yisrael first, and then you settle elsewhere. The Netziv says that maybe this is the issue of leaving idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, or maybe it's just a way of saying we don't want Israel to become subsidiary to other lands. Oh, I really like this land, let's go there, instead of going to Eretz Yisrael. That's the objection. So the Medrash continues to say, so if they would indeed settle outside of Israel, how do you know that that would become Israel, and therefore the mitzvahs of Israel would apply? We do a gezerah shava. Nemar kan yihyeh, the pasuk here says, yihyeh, the kol makom asher tadroch tafraglechem bo lachem yihyeh, the Nemar Lahalan Yihyeh, and also says, Yihyeh, that was Eretz Yisrael. The other one is the Yihyeh, Lachem Yihyeh. Ma Yihyeh, Ha'omer Lahalan, Mitzvah Noah goes Sham, Ha'kiyeh, Amur Kan, Mitzvah Noah goes Sham. Just like the Yihyeh in Israel is the place where the Mitzvah is applied, so to the Yihyeh in the lands you settle in outside. Vim Tomar, Vipnemach, Havash, David, Aram, Naraim, Baram, Tzov, Vavein, Mitzvah Noah goes Sham. Well, then why did David conquer what we call Surya? Aram, Naraim, Aram, Tzov. And yet we don't have the mitzvahs there. Amrit, David asa shalo ketara. The answer is, what David did was inappropriate, because he went out of order. Hatara ama mishtech b'shu eretz yisrael zira sham l'chavish chutz l'aretz v'hu lo asa kein. Elo chazer v'kava sham narayim v'aram tzova v'ez ha'yivusi samuch l'Yerushalayim lo horish. David went and took Syria while the Yavusi are sitting around Yerushalayim, that he didn't take. Amar lo amakom, Hashem says to him, "Is Hayavusi simuch lepaltrin shalcha lo harashta?" You didn't deal with the Yavusi who are right near your palace. Heyachat achozir mechabesh aram naharayim varam tzova. What are you doing in aram naharayim and aram tzova? What was that for? Now, granted, again, it was a response to a provocation from Ammon, in which Aram then was third man in and therefore do a penalty in its own right. Nonetheless, we're going to David by doing so has done something that's out of order, and so the Rambam writes in source Lamed Ches that he's channeling this Medrash. So I'm not going to read through the entire thing, but the Rambam writes that because of this, you don't find a true kedusha to Surya, and so he says in Halacha Dalet there. Surya Yeshram Shiva and Keretz Yisrael. There are some ways Surya is like Israel, the Yeshram Shiva and Chutz La'aretz, and there are some ways it's like outside. Va'kona ba'karka ka'kona ba'aretz Yisrael l'inyan trumos u'maisas u'shviyas va'kol ba'Surya midivrei sofrim. So he says, if you acquire land in Surya, it's like Israel midirabanan, and you will have truman ma'aser and shmita. That's the upshot of the Rambam statement, is that shmita is a dirabanan there. Now, of course, shmita b'zman hazeh is a dirabanan everywhere. Per the Rambam, we think, based on our initial shiur about whether Shemitah is deraisa derabanan. So the Chazon Ish says, what he means is, it was derabanan even in Bayis Risha. That's the Rambam's point. What's the reason for the Gezerah? Why did the Rabbanan create it there? So we're told that it is actually a Gezerah to remove the incentive for people to flee Shemitah by going there. We don't want Jews saying, it's Shemitah coming, I better move to Syria. So in order to evade the problem, we'll instead have all these tax-free cities. No, the Beit Shahan and so on that we discussed yesterday. No, to evade the problem, we'll have Shemitah apply Midrabanan in Surya. And then, of course, we know, we saw in the Rambam, that the Svichan of Surya are permitted, stuff that grows wildly. I bring you one other source here. just because it was fascinating. I don't know what to do with it. But Lamed Tes, this passage here from the Yerushalmi in Shvi'as, Paragvah Halacha Aleph, the very end of Halacha Aleph, where we're told, Rabbi Chuna boi meshri ha'in Yablona. Rabbi Chuna wants to permit Yablona, which is a city in Syria, and say Shemitah won't apply there. Asla gabe Rabbi Mana. Rabbi Mana comes to him. Amar le helacha chasom. So he did what we always do. When we have a document we want people to follow, we get rabbis to sign on it. So he says, sign on it. V'lo kabel alei ilavei michtam. But he refused to sign. L'machar coming there, Rabbi Chia bar Magia. Rabbi Chia bar Magia comes by the next day. Amar le yo'ezav des lo chasom. He says, yeah, that was good that you didn't sign that. Why? Do Rabbi Yonah avuch hava omar? Because your father, Rabbi Yonah, used to say, Antoninus yahava l'rebi train alfin dishnin. Ba'arisus. Then Antoninus gave Rebbe the rights to work that field as a sharecropper for 2,000 years. Because Antoninus loved Rebbe, so he gave him a 2,000-year lease on that land to a certain extent, in terms of at least being a sharecropper. And therefore, therefore, it may be eaten, it may not be worked, we're going to treat it like land that was taken by the Olei Mitzrayim. But it's exempt from Meiser because it's like the fields of the Akum. So I don't know what to do with this because I thought we knew what Syria was. That true Meiser Shvi'as apply me the Rabbanim there. Is this Syria owned by a non-Jew and therefore Shemitah would not have applied there? And then he finds out, no, it's actually considered to be quasi-owned by a Jew because it's been licensed to Rebbe. I don't know, but I brought it because it was a really interesting story. And maybe when we discuss lands owned by non-Jews and their status in Shemitah, it will make a little bit more sense.
Well, the point was that because it was owned by non-Jews, you didn't give it to Rebbe, you only got recently.
Right. So then, but one, then why do we say Ne'achal of Elon Ne'avad? The whole thing is a very odd story, but I just brought it anyway. Because like I said, I found it interesting. Requires some examination and understanding. Okay. But let's move to the southern border of Eretz Yisrael. This is very important because even if that land was not taken by Olei Bavel, and we assume it was not settled by Jews coming back from Bavel, nonetheless, we have said that produce growing on land taken by Olei Mitzrayim, by the Jews coming out of Egypt, has Kedusha Shvi'as according to the Rambam, possibly even for the Rash, even though Sfichin will be permitted. So I need to know how to handle this Sfichin. I'm going to take the wild growth from land near Eilat. Do I have to treat it with Kedusha Shvi'as? What's its status? And not just Eilat, but the whole South. So, before we get to how we draw the lines, there's an interesting debate regarding the status of Aza. And it's funny, because you can read one source and it'll say, no, there's no question, it's this. And you read another source and say, oh, there's no question, it's that. And the this and the that don't agree. The Tzitz Eliezer takes it as a given. It's Tzitz Eliezer Zayin Memches Yud Beis. He takes it as a given that, of course, Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. Now, if you take a look at the map that I gave you there, this map came, as I noted there, from Rav Koren's article, Din Shvi'as B'Shatach Ha'arava. The significance of the circles and arrows and lines we'll get to, God willing. But you can see on your map, flanking the Mediterranean, that you have Aza there. Remember, there are five Plishti cities. Aza does not mean the Gaza Strip. It's Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gath, Ekron, and Aza. But Aza is there, and then Ashkelon is north of Aza. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, of course Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. Look at the Gemara in Source Mem Aleph. The Gemara in Source Mem Aleph says, Yasi Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Rabbi Yasi kamed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yasi are learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan. V'yasi Rabbi Yochanan become an amenim. Rabbi Yochanan is dozing a little bit. So Amalei Rabbi Chiya bar Abba l'Rabbi Yasi. So the students speak to each other. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says to Rabbi Yasi, Mipnei ma ofos shebabav al shmeinim. Why is it that the birds in Bavel are so fat? So Amar Lei Kalach Midbar Aza Barech Shmeinim Mehem. He says, go to Aza. I'll show you even better ones. I'll show you even fatter birds. And this is part of a greater discussion about it, Yisrael and Bavel and so on. That's beyond the scope of what we're going to say today. But the point is, he takes it as a given that Aza is Eretz Yisrael. He wants to make a claim about Eretz Yisrael, and he says Aza. So Aza seems to be Eretz Yisrael. And that fits.
Why does he need to be making the claim about Aza being Eretz Yisrael, Bavel being Eretz Yisrael?
Right. No, but that's the point. In other words, he's saying, you're telling me Bavel has it. It's always Bavel versus Eretz Yisrael. It's not Bavel versus Greece.
Right.
So he says, we, in Eretz Yisrael, we have these. So that's the Tzitz Eliezer's understanding, and I think that is pshat in the Gemara. But this fits also, because as we're going to see, the southwestern point of the border of Eretz Yisrael in Parshas Maaseh is Nachal Mitzrayim. So if you look again at the map, Nahal Mitzrayim, the most northern or northeastern identified place for Nahal Mitzrayim, is what's marked on your map as El Arish, Wadi El Arish. And that's way south of Gaza. So there's really no reason why I would exclude it, except the Rav Koren notes in his article that the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos does a very odd thing. In Hilchos Trumos Aleph Zion, the Rambam says in Source Mem Beis, Ezo hi ha'aret shechziku ba'olei Mitzrayim, what is the land taken by the Jews coming out of Egypt? Me rekem shu b'mizrach eretz Yisrael ad hayam ha'gadol. East to west is rekem in the east, and we'll talk a little bit about rekem later. To the Mediterranean, and may Ashkelon shi ledrom eretz Yisrael ad Akko shi b'tzafon, and from Ashkelon in the south to Akko in the north. If the Rambam felt that Gaza was in, why in the world did he list Ashkelon as the southern point? Difficult, no? So this Rambam stands out as a problem. The Kaftor v'Ferach, who took it as his mission to outline parts of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, takes it as a given that Gaza is in. And so do a whole host of other Acharonim. We're going to need that map. Don't put that map away. But this has to be addressed somehow. This Rambam has to be addressed.
I mean, bringing the Pesukim from the Torah, and then it's not necessarily a contradiction, because is it clear that they capture everything, all the boundaries within what was given in the Torah?
No, but the question is, what would count as part of Eretz Yisrael? In other words, we said that the lands that they are supposed to conquer within the original boundaries are Eretz Yisrael, regardless of whether they got there or not. We don't say lands not taken by Olei Mitzrayim. Let's say lands not taken by Olei Mitzrayim, but taken by Olei Bavel, if we had such a concept, lose their status as Eretz Yisrael.
The Rambam talks about the fact that Yeshua had to delegate each tribe to do their own conquest in order that, because their king was rabbi.
Right.
Which means theoretically, if they didn't do that, then whatever they captured, even within the boundaries given the Torah, wouldn't have the same status. So why do we have to assume that everything within the borders has the status of Eretz Yisrael?
I don't think so. I think the delegation of these people to do this conquest makes it Kibush Rabin by definition.
And makes everything Kibush Rabin, or what they take Kibush Rabin?
No, but I think any, to my mind, as a matter of fact, I did see someone who said this, I don't remember who anymore, not even regarding that, but regarding Chiluk. That the purpose of Chalukas Haaretz was to say, these will all have Kedusha. Whether you, Zvulun, actually ended up taking the land you were supposed to take on the seashore or not, that is Eretz Yisrael. I have not...
That's what it says, I think.
Is it?
I think so. He says that, first off, anything that's within the borders of Eretz Yisrael is going to be Kibush Rabin no matter what, even if the Yafi does it, and anything outside the borders even.
Yeah, but that's not the Rabin.
It's Rabin.
No, I agree.
And I also don't remember, but there's someone else who definitely says that the reason Yeshua broke up the land the way he did in advance was so that it would still be considered Kibush Rabin, even though it wasn't
Rambam. Yeah. But I thought what the Rambam meant was he did that, so therefore every city that Yehuda ended up capturing was
But have you seen anybody who said that if we could identify a spot within the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that no Jews got to in Kibush Mitzrayim, that it has no Kedusha? I've not come across anybody with that. And that's what you would be suggesting.
Yeah.
I would have a very hard time with that. I would want to see some. I understand that it would help us solve Hilchos Trumos if we took that as a principle and we also assumed that Jews didn't get to Gaza.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because the Plishtim are, spending time there. But, but they did. But Jews did end up there. In other words, the thing with the Plishtim went back and forth and back and forth. It's not as though you could say that it was dominated by them the entire time. So that was just a question about Gaza versus Ashkelon and what to do with this Rambam. And it's an open-ended question. But when it comes to drawing the southern boundary of Eretz Yisrael, we have three different approaches. The first approach is take the geographic points outlined in Tanakh for the southern border, identify them, and now you know where everything is. And nothing could be more complicated than that. The in Bamidbar Lamed Dalid Gimel Tehei, we get a description of our southern border, running from east to west. So if you keep the map handy, but go down to source Mem Gimel. Vayalachem pa'as Negev, mi Midbar Tzin al Yedei Edom, your southern boundary is from Midbar Tzin in the southeast, but next to Edom. Remember that Edom runs across the south. We're going to come back to that later. But Edom runs across the south, so meaning it's in the southern part of Israel proper, and it's also in the southern part of Eber HaYarden as well. So from Midbar Tzin / Edom, Vayalachem Gvul Negev Mikitzei Yam HaMelach Kedma. It will be from the edge of Yam HaMelach in the east, or to the east. So that's going to be a question. Does that mean the eastern edge of the southern part of Yam HaMelach? Or does it mean the southern part of Yam HaMelach is the eastern border? How exactly do we take that? Is all of Yam HaMelach in? That is a general assumption that is made. But that's your southeast is something to do with the southern edge of Yam HaMelach, which is, of course, the Dead Sea. V'nasav lachem ha'gavul minegev l'malei akrabim. Now, I'm going to take the majority translation of those words. And that is, your border then runs to the south. As though it had said, l'negev. L'malei akrabim, to a place called Malei Akrabim, which is a big headache. Where is Malei Akrabim? We don't know yet. V'avar tzina goes towards tzin. V'ayutot osav minegev l'kadesh barnea. It extends south to Kadesh Barnea, good luck. V'yatzah Chatzar Adar v'yavar Atzmon, it goes to Chatzar Adar, it passes to Atzmon. V'nasav ha'gmul me'atzmon and Nachal ha'mitzrayim, v'yusot osav ha'yama, and then it goes to Nachal Mitzrayim and the sea. It extends to the sea. That's what we get in Parshas Maaseh for our description. In Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Tesvav, we also get the border running east to west. We're going to get a few different points, but some parts are the same. If you take a look at source Mem Dalet, the border of Yehuda in their families, to their families, Agvul Edom Midbar Tzin Negva Mikzei Heman, bordering Edom Midbar Tzin in the south, from the edge of Yam HaMelach, Min HaLashon HaPone Negva, from the tongue of Yam HaMelach that faces south. Now, if you look on the map as you see it here, the tongue, you would think, would refer to that southern part, right? That's the tongue facing south. But maps show that over time, Yam HaMelach has shifted, and sometimes there have been two tongues, an eastern tongue and a western tongue, pointing south, because, you know, that's what you have on your map. But that's not clear-cut at all, what this means when he says the tongue pointing south. V'yatzah el minegev, and then it goes to the south, and once again we have this odd phrase, el minegev l'malei akrabim, to malei akrabim, v'avar tzina, and it will go to tzin, v'ala minegev l'kadesh barnea, v'avar chetzron, v'ala adar, v'nasav hakarka, so we get a couple of new boundary sites, chetzron, adar, karka, v'avar atzmona, it goes to atzmon, V'yatzah Nachal Mitzrayim, it goes to Nachal Mitzrayim, v'ayutot os ha'gvul yama, and to the yam, zeyelachem gvul negev. That's your southern border. The common denominator between the two is that you have something to do with the southern edge of Yam HaMelach. In the middle, somewhere, I'm assuming middle, I shouldn't say that, you have another point that is between Yam HaMelach, I should even say this, you have another point that is called Malei Akrabim, and then you have another point that's called Nachal Mitzrayim. Now you also have a pasuk in Yechezkel, who says, "Upaaz Negev Teimana Mitamar Ad Meim Rivos Kadesh Nachala Elayam Hagadol." So he mentions a place called Tamar as his southeastern border, to Meim Rivat Kadesh, which is a real problem because that's identified as being way south. And so what in the world am I going to do with that? In fact, there is a sefer called the Admas Kodesh by Rabbi Yitzchak Goldhar. It's published in 1913 in Yerushalayim. And he writes what I brought you here in source Mem Vav. He says, Sham b'midbar tzin tzafona l'kadesh ulekever shel Miriam b'merchak 22 kilometrin u'minegev l'malei akrabim b'merchak 23 kilometer yira hamakom mei meriva Asher Bishvil Kivasala Kadesh, Shal Miriam, Yikare Bashem, Main Rivat Kadesh. Varavim Karalo Ein Merda. He says your southern border is actually Mei Meriva, which we're familiar with from the Midbar. And it is way south. It's 60 kilometers south of Yam HaMelach. So Rav Zalman Menachem Korin, in his article on this, Din Shvi B'Shetach HaArava, notes that Radak on Yechezkel, which I brought you in Source Mem Zayin, as well as the Gra in Yoshua Yates, say that these are not the boundaries of Parshas Maaseh. What you're seeing in Yechezkel is actually La Sidlavo. It's a broader expanse. It's not part of the original boundaries. And that's consistent with other ideas we're going to see regarding the deep south area of Eretz Yisrael, that it was never, that's not what we're talking about. And it's consistent also with other issues in Sefer Yechezkel, where he talks about things for the third Beis HaMikdash that we are not familiar with, and seem to be third Beis HaMikdash items rather than first or second. But let's see what we can do working with Maaseh and Yehoshua to try to identify these points on the border. So looking at the western edge first, Nahal Mitzrayim. So I said earlier that the general approach is that the western edge is Wadi El Arish. Wadi El Arish is a wadi. It's not a river. It's an area that floods from rainwater. The Derech Emuna, Rav Chaim Knievsky, which I brought you here in source Mem Ches, I brought you a part of it. It's not the immediate part that we're going to need right now. But he quotes the Radvaz and the Kaftor Vaferach, quoting Rav Sadia Gaon, to make the assertion that it's Wadi El Arish. That's going to fit very nicely with something we're going to see in our third approach to identifying the southern border of the land of Israel, which is the Rambam is going to seem to say in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh that the southern border of Eretz Yisrael is the 30th parallel. So that actually works. The 30th line latitude will fit going through Wadi El Arish. Now, there are problems with that identification. We'll have to get to them. There is another approach that says it's the Nile. Rashi and Yehoshua Yud Gimel, as well as the Targum Yonasan and Parshas Maaseh, say it's the Nile. Rav Avram Benedict, in his article in the Carlin Stolen Journal, and told us Aaron Beis Yisrael, disagrees. He says, that doesn't make any sense for you to tell me that it's going to be the Nile. And he makes two points. Number one, the Gemara in Gittin Daf Ches talks about the status of the islands in the Mediterranean. And Rabbi Yehuda's view is that if you extend a line westward from the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, all the islands that are included between the line, the north line, and the south line, are going to count as being part of Eretz Yisrael. If you were to work with the Nile, the way that the Nile comes out in the Mediterranean, remember the Nile runs south to north. It's counterintuitive for those of us who don't know anything. But it runs south to north because rivers don't naturally run south; they naturally run downhill, and it's downhill as he heads towards the Mediterranean. But the point is, in any case, that the way that the border that the Mediterranean runs is such that if you were to make a map, if you were to make draw a line on a map west from where the Nile meets the Mediterranean, you would hit land. A whole bunch of cities that are on the shores of the Mediterranean will actually now be told, we're now be told, you're Israeli. If you accept the idea that your Nile is your border, and you accept Rabbi Yehuda's view. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara in Bava Basra, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, has a brisa that lists the waterways that bound Israel. And it doesn't list the Nile. Now mind you, it doesn't list Wadi El Arish either, but that's okay, because Wadi El Arish is not a waterway. It's not a river. It just floods. But you can't possibly list the waterways that bound Eretz Yisrael and not list the Nile, if the Nile is in fact a border. That's a major waterway. So he says it can't be. Rav Chaim Knievsky in his Derech Emuna, and that's what I brought you on the sheet in Source Mem Ches, tries to resolve the problem. He offers an attempt at compromise, saying, well, look, the Nile ends in the Mediterranean, as I had said. So maybe the starting point of the Nile, or the ending point really in the Nile, is a spot that's close to the Wadi along the Mediterranean. Yeah, it's roughly parallel with latitude with the end of the Dead Sea to the south. Maybe that's a way to work it. But this is very difficult. Wadi El Arish seems to be the accepted western border of Eretz Yisrael. Let's jump now to the eastern edge of Eretz Yisrael. And Yam HaMelech, where is the southern edge of Yam HaMelech? So the Admas Kodesh thinks, well, that's a really easy question to answer. The Admas Kodesh, who I brought in source Memtes, he says to you, look, Ladas Tchumei Eretz Yisrael Aksuvim B'Torah B'Sefer Yechezkel Kfar Yagu Tarei Haaretz HaYehudim HaAnglim VaGermanim. He says, yeah, everyone has struggled to figure out the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael that are recorded in the Torah. The Jews, the Germans, the British, the V'Loi Yuli Yediyah Amitit, and they didn't get the true understanding. U'B'Yoser Ne'elam Mehem HaGvul HaTzfoni. They in particular have trouble with the northern border, which is its own discussion. Lo Chein HaGvul HaDromi, but the southern border, that's easy. Asher Shtei Ketzosav Yiduos, its two edges are known. Kinim Shach Me'akzei HaDromi Sheyam HaMelach, it goes from the southern edge of the Yam HaMelach, Ad Nachal Mitzrayim, Sharevim Karilo Wadi El Arish. Fine. Lo Kaved HaDabar L'mtzo HaMakamos Asher Al HaGvul HaZeh. He says, that's no problem. We can do that easy. Don't worry about that, says the Admas Kodesh. The problem is that it's not so easy. And the reason it's not easy is because in the past 100 years, we have seen shifts of 370 to 400 meters below sea level in its height. In other words, it's dropping, which you know. You've probably read articles about that. The Dead Sea is dropping. What you may not know is that it has done this over centuries and centuries and centuries. We have records of this going way, way back, of it fluctuating based on rainfall. It goes up, it goes down. This is not meant to be a discussion about climate change. But the point is simply that when it comes to the Dead Sea, if anybody tells you the Dead Sea is dropping, that's a sign of climate change, they're wrong. It has done this for ages and ages. The problem isn't that. The problem is that as it rises and falls, that also affects the extent of the ground that's going to be covered by the sea. So I need to know, so how far is the southern edge of Yam HaMelach? And that's what I meant by the tongues of Yam HaMelach. Sometimes there are and sometimes there aren't. If you look, I brought you Josephus in source number Nun. So he calls the Yam HaMelach Lake Asphaltitis. So he says, the nature of Lake Asphaltitis is also worth describing. The length of this lake is 580 furlongs, where it is extended as far as Tsoar in Arabia. And its breadth is 150. The country of Sodom borders upon it. He has a whole description of it and of the destruction, you know, in the time of Lot and so on. But the point is, where is Tsoar? So archaeologists think that Tsoar is a place called Kfar Tsefi, or Tsafi is what they call it in Hebrew. And if you're looking at English characters, you're looking at Gor al-Safi or Gor Safi, G-H-O-R is the first word. Safi is usually spelled S-A-F-I, which is significantly east of today's southern tip of Yam HaMelach. So if Yam HaMelach 2,000 years ago extended way east, and you're telling me, say Yam HaMelach Kedma, and you mean that to be the eastern edge of Yam HaMelach, could be it extended much further, and therefore, if you have produce grown in Gor al-Safi, it's probably As-Safi in Arabic actually, it's a sun letter, but if you have produce grown in Gor al-Safi, that may have Kedusha Shvi'is. So that's an important thing to know. There's a sefer called Shut Mishnas Yosef, where he says it's up to the site of the salt factories. But I don't know where he gets that from. Why the salt factories? So that's difficult. So we know it's Yam HaMelach, but we're not entirely sure of what that means. In the West, I'm willing to stipulate it's Wadi El Arish and ignore the Nile. What about this Male HaKrabim? What is this Male HaKrabim? So, for whatever it's worth, and it's not on your map, Male HaKrabim of today is 45 kilometers southwest of the Dead Sea. And that would make me very happy. If we could say it was today's Male HaKrabim, that would work. Because if you're looking at your map, you've got Yam HaMelach here, you want to run a little bit south, so it's a little bit south, and then it runs up towards towards the other side, and everybody's good. But nobody suggests that Male HaKrabim of today is Male HaKrabim of Parshas Maaseh.
So you said it's 45 miles west?
45 kilometers southwest. The Torah's language does seem to place it as south of Yam HaMelach, accepting the idea that v'nasav ha'gvul minegev, and certainly the language in Yehoshua, indicates a southern turn. That creates a problem, though, right? It creates a problem because we use Yam HaMelach in the Torah's description not only as the southern border of Israel, but as the eastern border of Israel. When they describe how the border runs, the eastern border runs from north to south, they say it goes down to Yam HaMelach. Okay? If there was another spot that was further south along that eastern border, right? Then that should have been listed as part of your eastern border. It shouldn't have said it goes down to Yam HaMelech, it should have said it goes down to Maale Akrabim. So looking at your map for a second, let's say for a moment, no one says this, but let's pretend for a moment just to make it clear. You see the spot that's marked Al-Shubak? Let's pretend that was Maale Akrabim. Your eastern border would have to say it goes down to Al-Shubak. Right? You can't say it goes down to Yam HaMelech and then we're going to talk about our southern border and describe Al-Shubak. It makes no sense. You would have to mention that. So therefore, Maale Akrabim cannot be where Al-Shubak is. So the question is, well, if it's south of Yam HaMelech and it can't be on the eastern border, how far west does it have to be in order to qualify? You follow the question? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in his Derech Emunah, I brought it on the sheet, but that's okay, simply says it shouldn't be too far south of the positions of the southern Yam HaMelech and Wadi El Arish. It has to be roughly in their general latitude. But that's all he says. Rav Efrati, who I quoted last week or 2 weeks ago, as well as Rav Koren in his article, say that you can't accept it being too far south for the reason I just mentioned, and therefore Rav Koren concludes that you draw a 45-degree line heading southwest from Yam HaMelech, and that's what you see on your map. You see that arrow? He says, extend your arrow 45 degrees. If it would be south/east of that line, it would count as being on the eastern border. And therefore it can't be. So all those little cities that you see marked, everything from Ne'ot HaKikar to Chatzpah to Eliyav to Tzofer to Paran, all those areas in the area called Ha'arava there, distinct from Ha'arava that we discussed yesterday, but all those cities, he says, are out. The Maale Akrabim has to be somewhere on the other side of the line, and the border runs from the southern tip to Maale Akrabim. That's his position. That goes against the following people. It goes against the Admas Kodesh, right, who we saw. The Admas Kodesh was the one who put it at Mei Meriva, as we saw. It goes against those who take Rechem, the eastern border of Israel, and say that's actually Petra in Jordan. He said, that can't be. It goes against the Tsefer Tvuos Haaretz, who says that Maale Akrabim is a place called Jabil Hanzira, which is actually 30 kilometers southeast of the Dead Sea. It's a remarkable problem. There's even a view, which I didn't bring here, I'm not sure why, I must bring it later, in which there's a Rashi that thinks that Maale Akrabim is actually north of Yam HaMelech. Northwest of Yam HaMelech. In which case you have to reinterpret V'nasav Minegev and all that. But Rav Tukhachinsky says, I know where Maale Akrabim is. He says it's near Eilat. 140 kilometers south of Yam HaMelech. Looking at your map, you see where Eilat is? It's like due south. I mean, marginally west, but it's basically due south. So he says, yeah, that's where it is. That's where it is. And I brought it for you on the sheet. If you take a look at Source Nun Gimel from Rav Tukhachinsky's Sefer Eretz Yisrael, it's also found in his Ira Kodesh Ramikdash in the third volume. He writes, Umikevan she Maale Akrabim hu ktsei gvul hadromi. Since Maale Akrabim is the southern edge, the edge of the southern border, aleinu ladas biikar ayehu mekom Maale Akrabim. We need to know where that is. V'hine, be'ezes sfarm geografiim, v'gam b'mispar mapot, misumana Maale Akrabim lo rachok mikzei hadromi shel Yam HaMelech. He says, on some maps, you will find Maale Akrabim marked not far from the southern edge of Yam HaMelech, in b'merchak 23 kilometrim, or 40 to 50 kilometrim. Aval halom afurish b'krashu al yad eretz Edom. He says it's the edge of the land of Edom, he claims. Rachok me'ot kilometrim mikzei Yam HaMelech, hundreds of kilometers from Yam HaMelech. Zos omeres al yad Eilat. Ir hachof asher asfat Yam Suf HaMizrachit. He says it's Eilat by the eastern, northeastern edge of Yam Suf. Right, what we also call Gulf of Aqaba. Hanikra bezmanenu Yam Aqaba. There we go. That which we call the Gulf of Aqaba. V'amnam anu shomim sh'Rabbeinu Saja Gaon tirgem Maale Akrabim Aqaba. In fact, he says, Rav Saja Gaon translated Maale Akrabim as Aqaba. So he says, that's Maale Akrabim is in fact a lot. Everything down to Eilat is included in Eretz Yisrael. He has a discussion on this in his Iyar Kodesh Bamikdash. It's Chelek Gimel, page Resh Mem Ches, discussing whether you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni in Eilat or not. Because based on this, it may be a chumrah for things like Shemitah and Trumas and Maisros, but it means you don't keep Yom Tov Sheni. Some people might say, well, that's worth it. I don't know. I like Yom Tov Sheni, but I will willingly give it up when we go back to Eretz Yisrael. But see also the Tzitz Eliezer on that topic of Yom Tov Sheni and Eilat. The Tzitz Eliezer is in Gimel Chaf Gimel. But that's his position. That's Rav Tukhachinsky's position, basing himself, among other things, on Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Korin is apoplectic. He says, that makes no sense. He says, first of all, then again, it would have to be on the eastern border. That should be listed as your eastern border of Eretz Yisrael, number one. Number two, we're going to have another method of calculation where we're going to use the lines from the Ir Miklat. And it's going to be completely wrong in terms of those lines, way south of where the Ir Miklat were. Not only that, he says, yeah, we have psukim that say that Eretz Edom is on the edge of Yam Suf. So that's the middle of Edom, to which Rav Tukhachinsky will say, yeah, Eilat is on the border of Edom. And further, he says, the reason Rav Sadia Gaon wrote what he wrote about Aqaba was not to say Male Akrabim is on the Gulf of Aqaba. The word Aqaba in Arabic is Ma'ala. Male Akrabim is Aqaba Akrabim. It's a geographic feature. It's not a place. And he has more there. And Rav Schwartz in Tevuas HaAretz, Rav Yehoshua Schwartz also rejects it. They all go to town on this. Generally speaking, they don't accept this idea that Male Akrabim is Eilat. There's more to say on this. There's a discussion in the Derech Emunah, in Tehachos Trumos, Aleph Zion. There's a discussion in Orchos Rabbeinu. And we're going to come back to Eilat in a little bit. But the upshot of this is that, generally speaking, we accept the eastern border being the southern edge of Yam HaMelach, understanding we don't know exactly where that is. The western border we accept as Wadi Al-Arish. And the intermediate marker, Male Akrabim. So I like Rav Koren's point about not being part of the eastern border. I'm not so sold on the idea that a 45-degree arrow is what's going to tell us, you know, it can't be east or south of this line. But there's a logic to what he's saying. It does make a lot of sense. There are two other approaches, as I said, to how we calculate the southern borders that don't rely on these geographic points except as ways to support them. And these are both quicker than that one. The first is the Ir Miklat line. The Brice in Maseches Makos, and I brought it on your sheet in source Nun Vav, says that the Ir Miklat are Mechuvanos Landrachim Zumizu. I'm sorry, actually, before we get to that, we said it already the other day. The Torah says, V'shilashtaz Gevul Artzacha, that you shall divide up your land into thirds, which we said meant quarters, meaning that the north-south distance between the top border, the northern border of Israel, and the first city is the same as the distance between the first city and the second city, which is the same as the distance between the second city and the third city and the southern border. Further, it says that there's an even line running across, and that was actually what I brought you on in source Nun Vav, which I shouldn't have. Nun Vav is the wrong Gemara Makos. I need to edit that. But if you take a look at Rashi on that, which we do want to see, Rashi says, "B'shilashtas gevul artzacha shihu meshulashos klomar shemischalekes haaretz chalakot rochba shel eretz Yisrael la'arbas rivaim." We divide up Israel into four quarters, k'moshim mefarish v'holech sheim yidroma sheretz Yisrael lachevron k'mechevron l'shchem, etc. So that's my Gemara in Makos, as explained by Rashi, that the distance between the cities is identical. And the Rambam, writing in source Nun Ches in Hilchas Rotzeach Hashemiras HaNefesh about Arei Miklat, takes that as being specific. You know, it's not a vague number. He says, Moshchin, you measure between the Arei Miklat, Ashu Meshulashos Peshava, for them to actually be equidistant. So based on that, Rabbi Avram Benedict, in Carlin Stolen's Koveis Beis Aaron v'Yisrael, it's Year Yud, Issue Beis, page Kuf Hei. So he says, this will yield a southern border that, if you go back to your map, will run through the city of Chatzvah, south of Yam HaMelech. That's where your southern border is actually going to be, if you accept the Ir Miklat lines. That will be 30.7 degrees latitude, and your northern border will be at around Meron Tzvat, at 33.7 degrees latitude. And he says, if you run those lines east of the Yardane, that will work with the borders of the land taken on the eastern side of the Yardane as well. That's what he claims is how this works. We talked a little bit about this yesterday in terms of Nahal Arnon. But that's of Avram Benedict's position. He is the major advocate of this idea. There are others who disagree.
Still not explaining they go straight across, and how does they go across?
Right. So that's actually a really good question. When we see the third approach, we're going to see those who contend. What I was going to say for the third doesn't apply here. You would have to assume that it's straight across.
You have to.
You have to assume essentially that Malei Akrabim is where Chatzba is. And then it's going to have to go across. Even though it's really running below Wadi Al Arish, but it'll have to be Nahal Mitzrayim, maybe a southern part of Nahal Mitzrayim. That would be the way you would have to deal with the problem. But that's a second approach. The third approach is what the Rambam does in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh. And this is a little bit hard to follow, but I did the best I could in terms of quoting it to make it easier. If you take a look on your sheet at source Samach, he says, Yisbo'er b'sipre cheshbon at kufos v'hagimitrios. He says, the books that do the math say that if the moon is visible in Israel, it will also be visible in all points west of Israel as long as it's on the same latitude. And if per our calculations it should not be visible in Israel, it still may become visible in the other lands, which are west of Israel, because, of course, as the earth rotates, the moon comes out of the shadow, and eventually the new moon is visible. So he said, it could be visible west of Israel, but not visible in Israel. But if it's visible in Israel, it should be visible west of Israel as well. And then he continues in Halacha Tezayin, and he says, so this assumes that those lands we're talking about that are west of Israel or east, when he discusses east, they have to be on the same line as Israel. So he wants them to be between 30 and 35 degrees latitude. If they're further north or if they're further south, then there's a whole other set of rules about them. And then he concludes, Udvarim Elu Shabianu Ba'ari Mizrahu Marav Ainan Elahagit Komishpite Hara'i Allahagdil Tawalahadi writes, as our whole discussion here about east and west is only expanding the glory of Torah. But not Lo Shayu Bene Mizrahu Bene Marav Somchan Al Riyas Hayareach. O Tawalem Kulum. Not that everybody should then depend on what we saw the moon, therefore we can declare Rosh Chodesh. No. It's Ein Somchan El HaKiddush Basin Shevaretz Yisrael. At the end of the day, it's still the basin that's doing it. I'm just having fun. That's what the Rambam says. So, 30 to 35 degrees is Eretz Yisrael. That's what he is saying. Now, even if we were to take, Rav Koren makes the point, even if we were to take the lowest point of this, that would not affect our discussion. This is what I was going to say to you, Josh. Our discussion regarding the southeast corner of the border. Because maybe his line begins only in the western Negev. So this doesn't affect where Yam HaMelech extends to in the east. That's not our discussion. But there are two problems with this Rambam. Problem number one is in Source Samach Aleph. The Rambam earlier in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh wrote that he said, L'fi Shariya Loti El Eretz Yisrael, since you only see the moon, as far as we are concerned, in Israel, that's where seeing it matters. We work with Yerushalayim, Ushar Makomos Asovin Osa, and the places surrounding it, the Kemoshisha Oshiva Yamim, 6 or 7 days travel from Yerushalayim. Shabahen Rowan is Hayarech Tamid, Ubomi Idim Bezdin. That's where they see the moon always, and they come testify in Bezdin. Umakom Zehu Notan Itachas Akava Shabah Mesave Bemza Olam Kineged Ruach Tzfonit. He says this is north of the equator. Don't be bothered by the word Tachat. It's north of the equator. Bikmoshtayim Ushloshim Malos Ad Chamesh Ushloshim Ve'ad Teisha Ve'esrim. He says Yerushalayim is 32 degrees north of the equator. And therefore your travel distance is from 29 to 35. Unlike the border he said before. Right? Earlier he said the boundary was 30. Now he said 29. And then he gives you also the east-west longitude coordinates. So I have two problems with this Rambam. Problem number one is that the Rambam here seems to think Yerushalayim is in the center of Israel at 32 degrees north, and Israel is 29 to 35, number one. Number two, if I were to work with this, the board with either of his, 29 or 30, it wouldn't match the boundaries we have. So there are four solutions that are suggested. Three of them we have to drop. One of them we may accept. The first solution that's offered to this is the Rambam was not trying to give geographic boundaries of Israel. He was talking about when the moon is visible in Israel, not giving you boundaries for Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Koren notes this. But it appears weak. Because Rav Koren's evidence includes the line where the Rambam said, I only brought this Lahagdil Torah or Lahadira. Right? To beautify Torah. But the Rambam only said that in relation to the question of whether you can go based on seeing the moon. He wasn't undermining his statement of the boundaries. Further, the Rambam wrote explicitly in what we saw in Yud Aleph Yud Zayin, in Sor Samach Aleph, that Re'iyah only counts in the land of Israel. I don't know exactly what that means, but I do know what it means. He's describing borders of Israel. So I don't know what to do. With that, I can't say that he's not describing geographic boundaries. That's very, very hard. So Rav Efrathi, who I quoted last week, floats the different idea. He says maybe the Rambam is working with a different system of degrees. After all, the Kafta Rav Ferach uses degrees for some of his places that don't match ours. However, Rav Benedict in the Tolos HaFeis Aaron V'Yisrael says no for two reasons. Number one, the Rambam gave us a latitude for Yerushalayim, 32 degrees, and that's correct in our system. And number two, the system of degrees has been in place since the days of Ptolemy, 1,000 years before the Rambam. The longitude is different, but the latitude has been consistent down the line. Longitude changed because the Rambam gives you longitude based on the place that he calls Merkaz Haaretz, the center of whatever, and today we use Greenwich, Merkaz HaYishuv, which is different. So your longitude starting point will be different, but your latitude was the same. So you have to throw out that idea. Third idea is the Rambam is talking about the border of the area from which witnesses came, not the border of the land. The border of the area from which witnesses showed up. And Rav Benedict offers this, Rav Koren offers this, but this is difficult too. Because, as the Sefer Tosfos Aharon on Rosh Hashanah Chaf Mebeis notes, witnesses need to be in Yerushalayim when? How long do the witnesses have to show up?
Yeah, the 7 days didn't make any sense.
Yeah, what are you doing 7 days out? By the time you get there, what good have you done? It's the Rambam explicitly in Surah Samach Beis, in Kiddush HaKadosh, Gimel Aleph. He said, you only have 24 hours to show up. After that, it's over, pal. They've already declared the old month 30 days. They're not waiting to declare 35 days long. So the Rambam is not describing the boundary from which witnesses came. That makes no sense. The only solution I found that has any sort of relevance, and it's still difficult, is Rav Benedict quotes from Rav Yaakov Emden in his Moruk Tzia. He has a section called Kuntras Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Koren quotes it also, that the Rambam's border is the land promised to Abraham, because it's going to expand south, Keni, Knezi, Kadmoni, Edom, Amon, Moab, and that's what this is referring to. It's odd, because I would think the Rambam would have said so. But that's the only thing that I've come up with, that I've seen, that actually fit. Two tangential notes of interest, very quickly. Number one, the 6 or 7 days is unusually imprecise for the Rambam. So the Sefer called Sefer Midos and Mishkalos Shel Torah by Rav Yaakov Gershon Weiss, in which he says, no, because you're forgetting the way latitude and longitude work. The Rambam has described here a circle, meaning he has distances longitudinally and latitudinally. Lines of latitude are consistent. The space between each line of latitude is equidistant. Longitude is not, because they have to meet at the poles. And therefore, it's going to widen as you get towards the equator, and then narrow as you get towards the poles. So, he says, and I didn't do the math on this, at the latitude of Eretz Yisrael, the space between longitudinal lines is 1/7 less than the space between latitude lines. So if you're drawing a circle of travel time, it will take you 6 days to travel 3 degrees longitude, but 7 days to travel, but 7 days to travel 3 degrees latitude. It's a very interesting idea. You should check it out cartographically, but that's his idea. That was one interesting point. The other is the problem of the Kafta Rav Ferach. Because the Kafta Rav Ferach, the end of Perek Tes, does seem to claim that the Rambam is describing Eretz Yisrael proper. it's unclear how in the world he's going to deal with our problems. So the sefer called Minchas Yerushalayim by Rabbi Tzalev Bloy, and Rav Koren quotes it. I didn't see it inside in the Minchas Yerushalayim, but he has a fascinating approach. He says the Kaftor HaFerach, when he uses these boundaries, only mentions northern cities that are higher than the 31st parallel. He only mentions cities that are higher than the 31st parallel. He mentions the Rambam's thing, but he doesn't actually mention any cities there. So he suggests that the Rambam is only using, Kaftor HaFerach is only using Rambam's borders as far as the northern area, and that for the southern area, he's working with our idea that that's lost in Lavo when we include Edom, Ammon, Moab, etc. And that fits, it's consistent with the Kaftor HaFerach elsewhere, where he talks about the southern borders, and that's the Rashi that I mentioned that was a problem. Going from Yam HaMelach, northwest, if you take a look at Rashi Bamidbar, Lamed Daled Daled, that was the problem Rashi. There's more to say on that, and I'm racing, with it, so I'm not saying it well, because I wanted to get to this last point, which is, so is Eilat in or out? So Rav Koren says, use the Ir Miklat line. And therefore Eilat is out. As does the geographic connect the dots method that he used. Rav Yehosef Schwartz in Tzibuos Haaretz and others give you Nachal Tzin as the southern line. I am not sure why they take Nachal Tzin. You can see it on the map that I gave you. You can see Nachal Tzin. This little river, it's by the circle. By the bottom of the circle. So they take Nachal Tzin as the line. I'm not sure why. That is south of the Ir Miklat line in certain parts, but it's north of the Ir Miklat line as you head east, because Nachal Tzin goes north. So that Ne'ot HaKikar, south of Yam HaMelach, will actually be excluded from being in Israel. And Eilat, of course, is out as well. It's only Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky who says Eilat is in.
I thought even he said it was 40 kilometers.
No, he said that you'll see people who do it, and it's wrong. It's all the way down there. His line was that you'll see people who say this, but they're incorrect. It was in Source Nun Gimel.
Yeah.
He says, on maps, Mesumanam alek rim lo rachog mitzei adrom ishayam amelach im rechak 23 kilometrim or 40 to 50 kilometrim avah halom afurish bekra. Yad eretz adom, meot kilometrim, he says. Quite happily. He's smiling as he says that. He says Eilat is in. The Derech Emunah, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, as well as Rav Zalman Menachem Koren, say, they quote a Rav Kahana who quotes the Chazon Ish. Actually, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't quote the Rav Kahana. Rav Koren is going to quote Rav Kahana. Saying the Chazon Ish said, today's Eilat is definitely Chutz La'aretz. Without any doubt. Rav Kanievsky has this, he notes that the Tosfos Ein Shei Shem and Meiser Sheni Hei Beis says that there are two cities called Eilat. And in fact, today there's Eilat and Eilot. But both of them would be south of the borders we've described. There is a view suggested that the Chazon Ish said, well, first of all, Rav Efrati quotes Rav Kahana to say that the Chazon Ish said even Yatvata, which is north of Eilat, is out. Some say he meant out only for Sfichin, but Rav Kahana clarified that he meant no, for all issues of Kedusha Shvi'is, Yatvata is out. Rav Koren himself says not so fast. You know why? Because Yatvata was not there in the Chazon Ish's day. In Chazon Ish's day, according to Rav Koren on page 125, 126 of his article, Din Shvi'is B'Shetach HaArava, he says in Chazon Ish's day, there were no agricultural yeshuvim in the northern Arava from Yam HaMelach all the way down to Eilat. Only off in the west, when you get to like Ashkelon, that's where you find stuff. But other than that, no one's farming in the Negev in the days of the Chazon Ish. There was no Yatvata. So therefore, he says, you can't take the Chazon Ish any further than Eilat proper. And everything else is dependent on how you calculate the boundaries, which is the method you use.
Rav Takashinsky was close. Everybody else was.
Yeah.
Wasn't even close to the other side. They were way out.
Right. I don't have a map on here showing Yatvata. So.
There is.
Actually, no, it is there. I'm sorry. You're right. It is there. You are right. No, it's true.
Nobody's even.
It would be very hard to apply it to Yatvata. That's correct. His point is only don't give me the Chazon Ish as a source for it because those places didn't exist.
Okay.
That was his point, and okay. But that's the basic business of the southern boundary, the three different ways of doing the calculation. I had a lot of fun going through this, because I am terribly challenged spatially. I have a very hard time thinking spatially, so I'm sitting there going back and forth with maps, trying to figure out what in the world they're talking about. But I think we got it.
Every map is totally different.
Yeah, noch besser,
huh?
Even better. Okay, good. God willing, in the Nusman, we will talk about produce grown in lands owned by non-Jews. And